get yourself some help.
Right?
it's definitely, and it doesn't have to be full time, but even if it's someone that can help you when you're on vacation,
right?
Or if you have, you know, a special event that you need to attend and you can't do a turnover, or, you know, you're sick, you need some help.
Right.
It's just great to have a team, someone else that can help you.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every successful short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, this dynamic duo has welcomed more than 2,000 guests from 25 countries, earning them over $500,000 and garnering them over 650 five-star reviews. Now they're ready to share creative ways for your listing to stand out, to serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry, or Annette and Sarah will share stories about their own experiences so you can implement actionable improvements to your own rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Here are your hosts, Annette and Sarah.
Hey guys, it's Sarah from Thanks for Visiting. In this week's episode, we dive into the five things we wish we had known at the beginning of our hosting experience. And these five things not only benefit us as hosts, but also the guest experience. So you're not going to miss this episode. Five things that will totally transform your hosting and the guest experience.
Welcome to another episode of Thanks for Visiting. On today's episode, Sarah and I go back and chat about the five things we wish we had known in our early hosting days. Those five things include instant booking,
the beauty of a single night stay,
dynamic pricing,
outsourcing, cleaning, or co-hosting, even for one unit,
and killing the physical key.
Well, let's dive in.
Let's go. So first things first, I say instant book because I didn't even know what that was. Honestly, you've probably heard me in prior episodes. I learned about instant book at Airbnb Open 2016, and I was around a ton of other fellow super hosts, and they were like using that Airbnb terminology, and I had no clue what it was. And it was, people can book your place instantly. And I'm like, wait a second, I don't have to go back and forth with every single person that stays. And mind you, this is when I only had one unit. So holy smokes, I don't know what would have happened after that. Really, my biggest thing besides not even knowing what instant book was, so actually, let's talk about instant booking. Instant booking is where someone can automatically book your listing. And this is on Airbnb. I'm not sure about other short-term rental platforms, but they can just go in, request dates, and book immediately without having to write you a little note and let you know.
And have a conversation.
And request the dates. So,
but you, let's mention, before newbies freak out about, well, how do I know these are great guests? You can make
Parameters. And I have very strict parameters. And that was some of the relationships that I built at Airbnb Open. That really helped me. That turned my trepidations into very welcoming once I knew there were parameters. Mm-hmm. Those parameters being the most important to me, which I have turned on. And you can, there's several layers of parameters. And my favorite one is my guests that instant book have to have positive reviews from other Airbnb hosts. That sealed the deal for me. I'm like, if I have my other hosts have left them positive reviews, mm-hmm. that meant even more than government ID, email verification, that type of stuff. The being reviewed positively by other hosts, that sealed the deal.
Which means that Annette doesn't get necessarily newbie Airbnb guests.
I get them. They're just not able to book instantly.
Right. There mm-hmm. you go.
So people can still request with me and stay with me if they've never used Airbnb, but they do have to message me and
have a conversation.
We'll go over another episode about how to script if you're a first time Airbnb guest, but instant booking really changed my amount of time I spent on the platform. And honestly, gave a much better experience for seasoned guests. Because I know a lot of people, if they, especially if they've stayed with Airbnb a lot, that is a pain in the, you know, like they just don't want to deal with that. And I know myself, like some of our listeners know, like I like the Hotel Tonight app because it's super simple and I can book very last minute. Mm-hmm. And that's what I know a lot of like seasoned Airbnb guests, they want to just be able to book, not have to have contact, get it done immediately. Because, you know, there's a 24-hour window when someone has to get back to you on Airbnb. And if your trip is in limbo for 24 hours,
you're going to book with someone else.
They're going to book with somebody else.
Which is why it's not proven, but I guarantee you, or maybe they do say it on their website, but I bet if you are an instant book host, you get a little extra Airbnb juju
on the
platform.
I mean, and rightfully so. I think you should.
Yeah.
I think you're welcoming everybody, you know, at all times. So, right.
You know what we need to do, Annette?
What?
So this is, today is May something.
Yeah.
May like 12th or 13th. It's the 13th, 2019. You know what we need to do? We're going to give this out anyway, I know. But on our website, we should have an Airbnb lingo for like newbies. Because I don't think Airbnb does that.
I don't know.
Because you don't know what instant book is until you're like, they may offer like, do you want to instant book? And they do explain it to you.
Right. But even take a step back.
Right. Like, hey, as an experienced host, this is what it truly means.
Right.
Like, what you just said was so great.
I had no idea.
We need to do that. It will be in our ebook, which is coming out.
Yeah. So instant book, I said, Sarah has a totally different philosophy. She has it turned on all the time for anybody.
Well, you have to have your government ID uploaded.
Okay.
And so people who don't have it uploaded yet, they'll go and they wonder why they can't instant book. And I just tell them, just make sure you upload your ID. And they do. But I think I kind of make, or my pricing is just the higher end of similar listings.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. In all my years, knock on wood, I've not had.
That's good. Yeah. So the great thing, again, I will say this all the time about Airbnb and the wonderful technology. Instead of try it. And if you don't like it, turn it off. So that's what's so great about it. I wish I would have known about instant booking right out of the gate. I learned about it maybe 30, 60 days in, and I still consider it one of the biggest game changers for me and my whole entire experience. And I probably wouldn't have brought on more properties had I not had the opportunity to turn instant book on, because it would have been a lot more work.
You've been married to your phone.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So that's number one of our five things we wish we had known in our early hosting days. Sarah, what's the one thing you wish you would have known?
Number two is the beauty of the single night stay. So my first experience as a host was in New York City, but this was before Airbnb was popular and everyone knew about it. So while you might be thinking you're a host in New York City, you can get away with what I did, which was limit guests to 3 nights or more, or you couldn't even stay at my property.
She had a 3-night minimum.
Okay. But this was back in, you know, 2012, 13. Okay. And so thinking back on it now, because now I offer single night stays Sunday night through Thursday night. And it's just, I'm making more than I did in New York here in Columbus, Ohio. And whenever I get a consultation client who's like, I don't know why I'm not making money, I can see they have minimum 2-night stays, minimum 3-night stays. And like, you've got to go down those single nights and make sure it makes sense with your cleaning fees, but it will dramatically change your income.
Right. Conversely, this isn't on one of our tips, but I wish I would have known the beauty of multi-night stays when I got started. I didn't know that was an option. So I was running myself ragged, doing cleans every single day, even on the weekend.
So I will say that I'm still a 2-night minimum, unless it's January or February.
A little side note of the beauty of single night stays. I wish I would have known the beauty of multi-night stays starting out, because that really also took a toll on me as a host. Everyone wanted to book Friday night, Saturday night. So my weekends were shot with, you know, cleaning toilets and changing
and
sheets.
And I feel like, I'm being stereotypical here, but someone who might need a single night stay on a weekend, I think is a different caliber guest than someone who books 2 nights on a weekend.
Yes.
Furthermore, we're in Columbus, Ohio. It's not necessarily a vacation spot.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in a vacation spot, week-long stays absolutely probably make more sense.
Yeah, for you. I know some hosts, let's say Boston, for instance, they start at 2-night minimum. Once those are booked, they go to 3, then they go to 4. Mm. And like, I know someone that was several properties there and she's at a week minimum now just because she's built up mm-hmm. such a clientele and ratings. Yeah. And knows what her price point is.
This actually segues really well into the next one.
Yes. The next one. And again, this is terminology that, you know, before I started as a host, I had no idea. It's dynamic pricing. When I first started, I laugh at it now. I had the same exact price for every single day of the week, every month of the year. So if you were going to stay with me on Monday night or Friday night, the price was identical. And I thought I was like,
tisk, tisk, tisk.
I thought I was crushing the game. I don't even know how I learned about dynamic pricing. I think maybe I started to look at smart pricing. Mm-hmm. Maybe Airbnb tipped it off. I don't remember if it was a specific conversation. I don't even know where it came from, but it was game changing for me. And I was like, wait a second. Like now if you go in, I have a different price. Mondays are different than Tuesdays.
Are different prices from other Mondays.
So that is something. Don't set it and as much as I am a set it and forget it queen, do not set and forget your pricing.
There are things that you can do to help you to semi-set and forget.
Yep, exactly.
But it's not a set and forget permanently. I don't mm-hmm. care who you are. I don't care if you've hired a company. Most likely, they have a technology that is helping them read the city stats and flows and what's going on in your town, but they still need to pay attention because no one knows what's going on in a city more than those of us who are living in it.
Right. And like, for example, we are in the middle of a month right now. I went into all my properties. I have really good occupancy, but still have some open days. I went in today, just took a peek. I only changed them by a few dollars,
mm-hmm.
but I definitely went in and adjusted. Mm-hmm. So I think I don't use any pricing apps currently. So if anybody wants to reach out to me about using their app and sell me on it, that would be great. But I did some dynamic pricing earlier today. So that is something, if you have the same price all the time, switch it up.
I'm pretty good at this now. So I've taken on a few of my own co-hosting properties that I manage, and they are counting on me to make them ideal profits each month. And plus I work on a profit sharing way of working. So it behooves me to do this. And I've gotten a really good groove to go on my computer every morning and just go in, make sure, because I have third-party dynamic pricing apps applications that help me, mm-hmm. but I still go in those and I change the number
mm-hmm.
because I feel like Airbnb just likes active accounts.
Yes.
And I just want to make sure also I have all the big dates that I know of in Columbus, Ohio that are like really
desirable.
Mm-hmm. The football games, tickets are going on sale for OSU games. So I know people are going to start booking their trips here. So I'm making sure that, okay, if I have 6 months open, how are we looking for that next weekend that's going to open today? And so if I just take 10 minutes every morning,
I agree with that
because it's a big part of my life. So if you're
you're serious. Yeah.
If you have a bedroom, like mm-hmm. maybe not every day.
Right.
But yeah.
And also with the dynamic pricing in your listing, future guests can see the last time there was activity on the account. So if they're like, oh, the listing hasn't had any attention paid to it
right.
in 6 months,
yes.
someone might be like, oh, are they even, will they cancel on me?
Right.
Or like, oh, last change today, a guest can see that.
Mm-hmm.
So so far we have instant book, the beauty of single night revenue, and dynamic pricing. Number 4, Sarah, what do you got for us?
The beauty of outsourcing cleaning and co-hosting, even if you have one unit. So I'm going to talk about my first property, which was in New York City, and it was in a single family home and it had a unique setup. It was not a duplex, but the space that I Airbnb'd was in the basement and it had its own entry. And we shared, only in New York can you have a basement kitchen as your kitchen and it'd be fine. But we shared the kitchen, which is in the basement as well. So there was a door between the suite and the kitchen. So we locked it.
Okay.
Our guests did not have, our space was very much like a hotel. We had a mini fridge, a coffee maker, a microwave, but you didn't have a kitchen and you had a full bath, obviously.
Okay.
Anyway, that was my first property and I had a full-time job and I was also auditioning. I was an actor. So I had a lot going on
And Nick was a new entrepreneur. He was a real estate agent, starting a handyman company. Like, we were busy. And so while I had the 3-night minimum, so I wasn't doing too many turnovers, I still had them. And I was looking at my numbers after a year into this. And I was like, I think I can afford to, for my cleaning fee, find someone who wants something to do, a little extra cash, for a little less than what I'm actually charging the guest, so I can pay for my products and things like that. And it's win-win. I am giving someone an extra little side hustle. I don't have to freak out about getting home, so I can make sure my space is open that night. And I just didn't know that such a small operation could outsource and benefit from that.
I second that. I didn't start outsourcing until I had 3 units and I was going out of the country for a vacation. But, I've never turned back once I had help. So
Absolutely.
Outsource, get yourself some help,
right?
it's definitely, and it doesn't have to be full-time, but even if it's someone that can help you when you're on vacation,
right?
Or if you have, you know, a special event that you need to attend and you can't do a turnover, or, you know, you're sick, you need some help.
Right.
It's just great to have a team, someone else that can help you.
Yep.
And then we got number 5. This one, man, I can't even believe I did this in the beginning. Kill the physical key.
Hey, girl, I did it too. So
yeah,
it's okay.
I would greet all my hosts because I thought, oh, doesn't everybody want to meet me?
Oh, all your guests. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, all my guests. I would meet all of them and hand them a key. I can't, like, and I cannot tell you, I had to learn this lesson the hard way. In the beginning, I didn't have any reviews, so I really wanted to meet them because
sure.
I thought it would help boost my reviews if they could meet face to face and I could tell my story and tell them how much like their review would mean to me. And I really do think that was helpful. But also understand, I didn't live in my Airbnbs. I wasn't right there. I actually lived in the building, so it was easier for me. Man, I had to leave way too many dinners because people were stuck in traffic.
You're accommodating their check-in time.
Their schedules, their travel schedules. Can you only imagine?
No.
Like, it was not fun.
Well, think about it from the guests. So I just went to Greece last September and we stayed in a beautiful Airbnb. And now the Greeks, I am Greek. The Greeks are super hospitable. And this lady was lovely and she gave us a tour of the space and told her what her favorite tours were. And it was really, truly wonderful. But I'll tell you what, before that, I was kicking and screaming that I didn't want to have to meet the host.
Right.
I was ready to like
chill
out. And like, I got it. Like, I get how to get in the building. I get all these things. So now that's just me. And I know that you might be out there like, no, I'd actually love to meet my international host.
Right.
But I just think you can give them the option of it. Listen, you check in whenever you need to, via this keypad or smart lock. And if you're late, don't stress, because I have had so many people message me like, I'm so sorry, my flight's delayed. And I remind them,
check
in whenever you want to.
And I do still have an option. Like, I let them know I'm very close by.
Sure.
If you want to meet me,
sure.
Which everybody should want to meet me because I'm really freaking cool. But anyways, I'm a networker. So if anybody wants to meet me, please.
Get it, you guys. A networker.
But I do give them that option that if they were really interested, I'm there. But man, like, I remember 2 distinct things of sitting in a booth at dinner with my friends on a Friday night. And I had an Uber home, let my guests in, Uber back. And I was just like, this is not worth it.
Yeah.
And I had one other where it was like, I had to stay up till like 2 a.m. one night because a gentleman's flight was canceled. And then like, I didn't trust myself falling asleep and not being able to get him in. So I like basically was staying up just to accommodate him and meet him in my, you know, dressy sweatpants.
Yeah.
At 2 a.m, which, well, now that I think about it, that probably was not the safest
thing to do in that.
No.
Question. So you say that you let your guests know that if they want to meet you, they can. How many people take you up on that?
Nobody wants to meet me anymore. Oh, I just don't think they know who I am.
No one. Honestly, I just talked to my co-host about this the other day. We're like, there's just sometimes like we send the welcome message and we're like,
Did anybody ever
stay? Which we think, you know, no news is good news, but just killing the key.
for this is one of the something where Sarah and I want to continue this message of elevated reciprocity. But this is one of those things where it's an elevated experience for both the host and the guest. It's much more enjoyable to be a host if you know that your guests can get in, and vice versa.
Yes.
I just think, you know, even sometimes when I go to a hotel now and I like have to talk to, like check in at the front desk, I'm like, oh my gosh, I just want to get to my room. Like,
yeah. And isn't that, you already have your key if you're looking on Airbnb because you know how to get in. And can I take it a step further and say maybe kill the keypad? Just because the keypad, for maximum security, you really want to change the code for each and every guest. And a keypad, you would still have to go. Mm-hmm. I know someone's going over there and turning it over. So when I used to have a keypad, I had my turnover professional change the keypad for me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just one thing off the turnover person's to-do list. And it just, you know, it gives every guest its own their own special code. It lets me know when they check in.
Mm-hmm. It can cut them off.
It can.
When you talk about kill the keypad, if you have the technology, you can kill the guests from late checkout because their code stops working.
I can schedule it.
Yeah.
I mean, not only do I schedule my guests check in and check out time when their code starts and when it ends, but I also can control when my cleaners can access the space. Mm-hmm. So I know when people are going in there, and it's great for insurance purposes. Mm-hmm. If something happens,
right.
I know who was in at what time.
Right.
So I think going smart, like the technology's there and they're not sponsoring this episode, but I really was a Nest user and I am now going over to August Home mm-hmm. Smart Locks. They're the only lock company right now that works with Airbnb. Send your guests automatic codes, you guys.
Which is boss.
Which is life changing.
Yes.
Because right now I have on my fourplex, I have three Airbnbs. I had three Airbnbs and Nest only allows me to have three accounts on my app. So now that I have a fourth, you know, I was already going to transfer anyway to August, but a lot of my the properties that I host use August Smart Locks. And I now have, I think, 5+ properties on there.
Nice.
So anyway,
that's our rant about
keys
and keyless. So just to recap, the 5 things we wish we knew. Wish we knew about instant booking, the beauty of single night stay revenue, dynamic pricing, outsourcing even for one unit, and killing the physical key and keypad. That's it for today. We hope these tips help. They have changed our lives. it'll just save you time, which equals money. And it's, you know, gives you time to spend on other things.
Maybe upgrading your Airbnb or spending more time with your family. So.
Absolutely.
And remember, our goal is always guest first. So any of these time-saving tips, it saves you time, but it also makes the experience with the guest even better too.
No, and I love that you just brought that up, Sarah, because if you look at all 5 of these tips, instant booking helps the guest tremendously, especially if they've used Airbnb.
Yeah.
For a long time, they have tons of review. Single night stay, that helps. Like, you know, if I'm going somewhere cool, I might only be going for one night, or not even cool. If I'm just stopping by a town, I want to be able to stay somewhere one night. A lot of hotels, unless they're in resort towns, don't have that. So that's mm-hmm. great for the guests. Dynamic pricing, heck yeah. If I'm going somewhere on a Monday night, I expect not to pay
the same price.
Yes. Friday night.
Yes.
Outsourcing, if I know my place is going to be, you know, ready by the time I need to check in. Definitely guest relations, because if you have somebody helping you, you're less likely to cancel. And then keyless entry, yes, I want to make sure that if my travel plans go a little awry, that I'll still be able to get in. So honestly, these 5 things that we wish we would have known as hosts all add to the guest experience tremendously.
Yes.
So that's what we want to do here at Thanks for Visiting. So that's it for today's episode.
Yeah. Thanks guys so much. Okay. Talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for this episode at thanksforvisiting.me. If you're looking to take your listing to the next level and show your guests how much you care, be sure to check out our line of thoughtful hosting products, from hosting checklists to custom mugs to toilet paper stickers. We've got you covered. And if you love our show, remember, sharing is caring. Please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Thanks for visiting.
wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.